League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Winning games, playing good football.
How inspired are you right now coming into the show, hearing your starting quarterback, Davis Mills, talking about the realistic expectations that he has going forward, baby? What is up, everybody? It is a Friday, got to get down on Friday edition of the Paul Gallant Show on December 9th of 2022. I got to admit, I'm pretty pumped up after hearing the end of the bench. A nice little D's nuts joke to wrap up the show. I mean, Sean, there's so many things to get excited about this weekend, right? You got a lot.
I mean, walking in to the studio, you couldn't contain your excitement.
I couldn't. I dropped my computer on the floor. It's still working somehow. Credit to the piece of crap Surface Pros out there that actually last. Unlike the other computer I had, which did not survive me dropping it. I've had some issues when it comes to just walking with electronic devices. But, guys, you got the Cougs in Alabama. But that's an afterthought tomorrow at Fertitta Center. The first showdown since the arena opened between two top 10 teams. You got Army-Navy. Afterthought. Heisman Trophy presentation. Afterthought. Guys, we got a Texas showdown on our hands. And the man who you all believed, or at least some of you did, or at least a small percentage of you did, the Stanford quarterback who was promised Davis Mills, he's feeling confident, even though he's been on the bench for the last 2 weeks.
I mean, it's great. When you have a lot of trust in your teammates and they have trust in you, that's what it takes to win football games. So, I mean, I'm still a very confident player. Didn't lose any confidence in these 2 weeks, so I'm excited to get out there on Sunday.
Well, he's saying he's confident. How do you guys fake confidence? What do? I know that one of my moves has been to put on sunglasses. Do the sunglasses help in any way, shape, or form? It does make you feel as if you're not going to be staring at anybody. And it does give you a weird sort of sense, sort of like in that movie Big Daddy, like that little kid. Makes you feel a little more anonymous, not so self-conscious. Maybe Davis Mills needs to put on some sunglasses. Maybe he needs to get himself a little shot of tequila before he goes out there. I just want a little more. It's a big weekend. It's the Texans. It's the Cowboys. And, Sean, I don't think you heard any confidence from Davis Mills there.
No, what are you talking about?
You did hear confidence.
He's going to play good football, hopefully.
Was that a
win
quote?
Win some games, hopefully.
Oh, no. Is that? I don't think he said hopefully, did he?
Parenthetically, he said
see,
hopefully.
Exactly. So you're sniffing through the lack of confidence there. Look. We know this isn't going anywhere. We know this is the Titanic. But you know what happened on the Titanic? People forget back in 1912 when that liner was going down. There were some confident people there. Performers. Do you remember the band who played on the Titanic as the ship went down? Playing Nearer My God to Thee. totally not creeping out everybody who knew that they were about to either drown or freeze to death in the water. Those guys performed, and they were confident performing the whole way through until probably like the boat, I don't know, like broke in half. And, you know, some people were falling and they went straight down and they hit the propeller and went spinning. If you watch the movie, I'm sorry, that's kind of a funny part of the movie. It makes me a sick person. But look, they performed all the way through. Yes, this ship is sinking. It might already be underwater. But we need our captain, Davis Mills, to confidently go down with the ship. And I need a little more from him. What do you think we could do to help him feel a little bit more excited going into Sunday? What do you do to fake confidence? I know one of the things that I have learned to do, and I know you guys are all thinking, oh, here comes Paul, being as flamboyant as ever. Well, how could you not be flamboyant if you have musicals in your life? I have a playlist of musicals that I listen to from time to time. Some of that playlist includes a little song from The Sound of Music featuring Julie Andrews. Anyone heard that one before? This is what Davis Mills should be listening to right now.
I have confidence in confidence alone. Besides which, you see, I have confidence in me.
See? She's about to go teach a bunch of Nazi children how to sing, how to dance. She's about to do it. She had some doubts, but she talked herself into it. Maybe you've watched the Book of Mormon. There's a song called I Believe, where a Mormon walks into a African warlord's camp and starts convincing himself that he's going to be able to convert all these folks to Mormonism. I need some of that from Davis Mills. In fact, if we had any confidence from Davis Mills, wouldn't this entire show be a lot more fun? I'm not talking about the Paul Gallant Show. I mean, come on. It's the most entertaining show on the radio. It's the most interactive one as well. It's got the most handsome and talented host at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. No questioning that. I'm talking about the Davis Mills experience. If there was just like a little bit extra with him, I feel like some people would maybe still be beating the drum of, well, it's Pep Hamilton's fault, or it's Lovie Smith's fault, or it's Brandon Cook's fault for quitting on the team, or it's Nico Collins' fault for not taking as big of a jump in year two as we would have liked, or it's Brevin Jordan's fault for never getting on the field, or it's O.J. Howard's fault. Is he still on the team? I don't even know. Or it's Jordan Aiken's fault for not being on the team at the start of the year. Blame who you want. But if Mills was just a little more confident, I think that we would be feeling it a little bit more. And I don't like the way that he carried himself at that press conference yesterday. Does that mean that I don't think the Texans can cover the 17.5 point spread? No, there are like 20,000 other reasons for that, given the fact that if you looked at their injury report, pretty much every good Texan is on it, including Cooks, Collins, Stingley, et cetera, et cetera. Troy Hairston, what are they going to do without him? You know, their fullback. I think a lot of people are probably like, who's that? The fullback that they decided to throw the ball to going east-west instead of north-south on the goal line. Come on, guys. How do you not remember that? A great moment in that game between the Texans and Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns. Ugh. I think I'm talking myself out of any confidence I might have felt in the Houston Texans to cover a 17.5 point spread. But what do you do to feel confident? Could be the sunglasses inside. It could be singing to yourself, a couple of shots of liquor or something like that. Please let us know on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, you know, when it comes to the Texans and Cowboys game, I don't think anyone expects me to give an in-detail breakdown of this game. I am of the belief that you need to find yourself a better football watching experience on Sunday. The local games that you are going to get are not good ones. The late afternoon window CBS game that you're getting is the Chiefs and Russell Wilson. The early game that you're getting on Fox, it is the Cowboys and Texans. The late afternoon game that you're getting on Fox, it's the Bucks and the 49ers, which is like kind of decent game. So, with all those things in mind, the biggest disappointment about the game between the Texans and Cowboys is something that we hinted on towards the end of the show. Like, there's zero animosity. Is there any professional sports rivalry in the state of Texas that has a remote feeling of juice, vitriol, hatred behind it? Because honestly, I looked through it. Damn, it is underwhelming. So that's on the table, plus things that you do to fake confidence. The Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRMP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
One of the questions that we asked in the last segment on this here, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, because we're not feeling that confidence from Davis Mills. What do you do to fake confidence? Someone texted in fruit to 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Now, was this person texting that they eat fruit, mangoes, banana, perhaps an apple or apricot? Because that's what they do to feel a little bit more confidence, a healthy injection of vitamin C. Or were they calling me gay? It's a great question. I mean, I do know in the last segment we talked about musicals. We've talked in the past about how you shouldn't be ashamed of drinking a sweet drink. Guys, labels are labels. They can't hurt you. There's nothing wrong with liking a musical, guys. There's nothing wrong with it. Come on, Les Miserables? Banger. Phantom of the Opera? Banger. You can be straight and like it. You can be gay and like it. You can be anything and like it. But that guy, obviously, he was talking about how he eats fruit to feel a little bit more confident. As far as the games that you got to watch on Sunday, yeah. I know a lot of you out there are frustrated whenever I talk about the Houston Texans. I saw from Not Santa tweeting in, remind Paul, he doesn't work at the Texans flagship anymore. I don't? Do I not work there? I didn't know. Sometimes I need to be dehypnotized when it comes to that. But I do wish that we had better local games to watch. Remember how New York used to have to watch the Jets and Giants when both teams were stinking for much of the last decade? Like, that's where we are right now, especially as far as the local games and the ones that they choose. And it does suck that they choose the games for you. You should be able to pick the games that you want to watch on a weekly basis. Like, get the late afternoon window games where they want to add the one game of the week and it alternates between CBS and Fox every single week. But it would be nice if you actually had the choice to pick. I suppose if you have Sunday ticket, you can do that. And a couple of people were mentioning NFL Red Zone. Red Zone is difficult for me to watch because it jumps around too much. And I don't like it when it's jumping around when a big moment's happening. Because they'll go to another game, they'll show a couple of plays. I like to let the moment kind of fester, marinate, etc. Like, just let me stay here for this game. I don't need to watch, like, the Cardinals driving on the Las Vegas Raiders in the middle of the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go when there's some game in crunch time.
See, I always disagree because I don't know, the pressure of, like, oh, God, the Jags need to get this to get in Joskovi's field goal range. Like, I'm just like, no, when they call a timeout to ice the kick or whatever, you can jump to the Ravens game and then pop back in. I don't need to see, like, a worried, who's their coach? Doug Peterson. Like,
you don't?
You have to see him, like, oh, should I go for it on fourth?
Like,
should
that.
I punt? I'm like, this game is taking place in front of, like, 4,000 Floridians all in a hot tub.
Wow. Now that's racist. Okay. What's wrong with watching a game in a hot tub? What's wrong with watching a game in a hot tub while wearing your jorts or your pants that you wore into the stadium? Nothing.
Yeah. I just don't have it as, like, I need to see the, you know, the tense environment of Jacksonville at 2:30.
You've never lived in Florida. You can't talk about us, okay? Thank you. Guys, it sucks to realize that there's really no current professional Texas sports rivalry that has any juice behind it. I know the Rockets and the Spurs played one another last night, and the Spurs had lost 11 games in a row going into that game, and they have like the worst offense in the league, and they're missing three of their starters and their top scorer, and they still had a 31-8 third quarter against the Rockets and scored 118 points on them. That at least had a little bit of juice recently. Rockets and Spurs, when the Spurs were still in the midst of their dynastic run, and the Rockets were a more competitive team, but that's fallen by the wayside. I can't really remember there being a lot of juice between the Rockets and Mavericks over the past decade outside of that one series that they played each other in the playoffs. And honestly, I remember that series more for Rajon Rondo quitting in it and essentially being sent home by the Mavericks. Mavericks Spurs, has that ever really had a whole lot of juice? I haven't felt it. And, you know, this all comes from the fact that the Texans and Cowboys are playing each other on Sunday. We highlighted that too. There's really no great professional sports rivalry right now in Texas. The Astros are good now. The Rangers stink. At the beginning of the decade, when the Astros first joined the American League, the Astros stunk and the Rangers were good. The Rangers were the team making it to the World Series and losing it because Nelson Cruz doesn't know how to catch a fly ball with two outs. That ball by, I think, David Freese go over his head. Pretty hilarious moment in the history of the Arlington / South Oklahoma Rangers. You just haven't had much of anything. And I started thinking past it. Some people were suggesting, hey, Paul, come on, man. What about Houston Dynamo FC against Dallas FC? Or is it the Dallas? Is it the Dallas, like?
It's FC Dallas.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Football Club de Dallas.
I have a hard time really buying hook, line, and sinker into the rivalries between soccer teams, mainly because of the very dorky fans who are trying their hardest to come across as, like, the Euros. They bring their little drums in. They bring their band in. And I suppose I'm just a Debbie Downer by dumping on them for coming in. But, like, do you really feel vitriol between the high school band geeks of each soccer team in this state? No, I don't really either. Now, maybe there are some fights going on in parking lots that I'm unaware of, and maybe I need to go to a Houston Dynamo FC, a Real Houston Dynamo FC United game against FC Dallas FC Real. But outside of that, where is it? And I mean, then think about it from a college sports perspective. There's not really one rivalry that jumps out in Texas either. Well, like the Battle of the Iron Skillet between TCU and SMU? Or, I don't know, do they call it the Holy War between TCU and Baylor? I don't know. The only game that used to have juice that was played in Texas would be a college football game between Texas and Texas A&M. And that game hasn't happened in 11 bleeping years. And I know a lot of UT fans are like, no, we only care about Oklahoma. And a lot of A&M fans are going to say, well, UT's too scared to play us now. And both of those things might be true. But that was like all you had. And I've seen it once. Basically like my first week on the job when Justin Tucker hit that game-winning field goal for UT back in 2011. I wish there was a little more. And maybe it's good for the state of Texas that we are all in solidarity as a whole. Every single, I guess, person is for this state versus everybody else. The Astros against California's Los Angeles Dodgers. The Astros against the New York Yankees. But it does bum me out a little bit that there's not really a right-down-the-road rivalry. I think this is partly due to the fact that I grew up in the Northeast, and New York's only a 3-hour drive from where I grew up, Boston, and it's only a 6-hour drive from where my mom's from, Philadelphia. and all those teams being right next to each other, there's a lot of animosity. But there's really just like animosity between Houston and Dallas, and it also seems to be one-sided. I think Dallas, who thinks themselves to be like this Los Angeles of the Southeast, which is funny because they're like on the banks of the Dust Bowl, you know, like, woohoo, we're in the middle of like a plains or desert or something on the border of Arkansas and Oklahoma. And they're like, but we're all about culture. We're the Los Angeles of around here. Have you seen the way our people dress? Have you seen our women? Have you seen our thoughts? Have you seen our IG models? And then we're kind of like down to earth and don't like them because of the pretentious nature of them. But yeah, it just stinks. I wish that there was just some sort of juice when it comes to a Texas professional sports rivalry. Sadly, we don't have it. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. On the HRNP listener line, this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can also join us in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or tweet both Sean Mapes and I, at Sean A. Mapes, at Gallant Says. Coming up next, Baker Mayfield did what everyone thought he couldn't do. Came in with, I guess, 20 plays worth of practice and won in Thursday night football. We'll talk about that and some of the best games this weekend when we do our 10-minute drill. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Touch!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. A text to clean up. These are the only texts we get now. Is Paul Gallant gay? It's 2022. No judgment, just curious at this point. It's the longest running bit of the show. We're just going to keep it going. We're never going to answer that question. It's the mystery. It is in the ear of the beholder.
I feel like it's not just the longest running bit in the show. It might be the longest running bit in your life.
Oh, it's damn.
Because it happens outside the show, too.
It does. It really does. It is outrageous how much it happens outside of the show. It's funny. Like, if I ever were to do stand-up comedy, something I've thought about doing, because I think it would be fun, at least to try it, I know 100% the opening bit is going to be about how everyone thinks I'm gay. 100%. I find it funny. Like, I don't care. A lot of people get, like, very upset when they're called that. I don't care. You know? What's wrong? What's wrong with that? Nothing. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, if you're having lots of sex and you're happy, good for you. This is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 don't necessarily stand behind all that Paul says. What else do we have on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? I don't think anything else. Oh, we do have a game to talk about last night. Once again, a 16-3 lead was blown in primetime in a game that you probably didn't think you needed to watch. That's how I felt about the Rams and Raiders. Baker Mayfield's getting the start. He practiced 20 plays worth of plays in the week leading up to this game after signing with the Rams, and it was pretty damn ugly. But after the Raiders jumped out to a 13-3 lead, you're thinking, man, okay, the Raiders are moving the ball somewhat at will. They're going to win this thing handily, especially after the Rams fumbled while driving at the Vegas 23-yard line. What a surprise. It's Cam Akers who fumbles. People getting upset about Cam Akers not starting in fantasy football this season are complete dum-dums because he's never been anything special. People were drafting him in like the fifth round for some reason. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The Raiders throw an interception in the end zone right before halftime. And you're thinking, okay, well, there's no way that the Rams are going to do anything in the second half. But in very either Josh McDaniels or Derek Carr form, the Raiders go 3-and-out to open the second half, 3-and-out on their next drive. Field goal the drive afterwards, but it was a disappointing drive. Another 3-and-out, and then an interception on their last play of the game, allowing the Rams to score 2 touchdowns in the last 12 minutes of game.
because one of the Rams' touchdown drives was 9 minutes and 1 second long. Baker Mayfield was the guy who made it all happen. Here he is after the game talking about his victory.
Yeah, I don't know if you can write it any better than that. Obviously, we'd like to be a little bit more stress-free, but it's a pretty damn good story, I'll be honest with you. So it's special. That was my first rodeo doing that, I'll say that. Yeah. You know, when it comes to critical situations and kind of, you know, those crucial downs, when, especially when the clock's rolling like that, just putting the ball up for guys like that and knowing the clock mechanics. You know, I had Brian Allen screaming in my face what the cadence was for that because we didn't cover it, and Sean's yelling in my ear as well. And but, yeah, ball is ball. And it's when you have guys like that around you, they put you in a good spot and they help you out. And those guys did it.
Ball is ball.
So ball is life, too.
It is life.
But ball is also ball?
Ball is ball. Thank you, Baker. I understand why he rubs everyone the wrong way. I personally like Baker. I've always felt that, at the very least, he's entertaining to hear talk. And I felt like he did have some good moments in Cleveland that we have all completely forgotten about. And that last year, he should have had things taken out of his hands. He should have been benched, as opposed to playing through whatever injury he was playing through from essentially week two on, a shoulder injury. But yeah, this is a great story. Saying that at the beginning of your press conference, I think it's kind of BS that a guy who asks for his release less than 4 days later gets to win an NFL game. That's me, personally. I think you should have to suck it up the rest of the year. Be a good teammate, and he gets a victory. Here's Sean McVay weighing in on Baker Mayfield and his performance last night.
You know, there's a lot of concept carryover with things that he's done, Jordan, and, you know, you should see his notebook and how quickly he got himself up to speed, but it was one practice. You know, we had two 10-play periods, you know, whatever it would be on a Friday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, so yesterday, and made some throws and was able to do some different things. I mean, I just can't say enough about how impressed I am with just the command, the comfort, even just the operation. I mean, being able to just call the plays within the 40-second play clock or even 25 seconds out of a clock stoppage. I'm still kind of like, what the hell's going on right now? So,
yeah, that's Sean McVay, everybody, who is going to be portrayed as a genius for winning on a short week with Baker Mayfield, while in reality the Raiders just choked that one away.
You got to give it to Sean McVay.
No.
I'm not sure how many coaches in the league win this.
The people that are Sean McVay stands like right you off. Perhaps, Sean McVay, because of his first name. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But I do not vibe with you. He is a very overrated head coach. He should move on to broadcasting.
Simplified the offense for someone who only knows 20 plays.
Just a terrible choke job by the Raiders.
How funny is it that the Raiders lost to Jeff Saturday, went on a 3-game win streak, and then lost to Baker Mayfield with 20 plays of practice?
Because of the Raiders. It's the same old Raiders.
They
won
three games in between.
Mark Davis might be sitting next to some baddie in the owner's box who says, oh, well, we're just neighbors, after the game. Like, that's the closest to winning that the Raiders will ever get, because they're a joke of an organization, and this is just going to be them forever. Some organizations have loser juice on them eternally. It's the Raiders now. It's also the Los Angeles Chargers. Must be nice to be Patrick Mahomes and in the division with those two loser franchises, and on top of that, Russell Wilson and the Broncos. And I say that because of all the people who consistently said, well, the AFC is so easy. The Patriots took advantage of it. Patriots beat every single team ever. They beat them all, except for the Giants. Every single team. They beat them all. Okay? Sorry. I'm projecting.
Nothing says winner juice like the Jets and Bills and Dolphins.
Everyone said the AFC West was going to be great this year. Everyone.
Ooh, Justin Herbert. He's going to figure it out. Derek Carr.
I actually said they would win it, so I mean, I'm part of that problem.
I honestly, not just you, but so many Patriots fans are still so insecure about Tom Brady.
Yes.
Everyone calls him the greatest quarterback of all time.
Wow.
He won, what, 6 with y'all? Or 5?
6. Whoa, 5? That's sacrilegious.
Smote him? I honestly can't remember.
Smote him, Lord and Savior?
Nope. Still here.
Sean looking up at the sky.
I mean, like, what are you still defending Tom Brady for?
Because it's all I had!
And he left you. He looked around the room. He pulled to James Harden and said, I can't win with
Sean,
these guys.
Sean, it's all I have.
I can't win with N'Keal Harry.
My entire identity was based off the fact that I could tell people, well, I'm a Patriots fan and your team sucks. Like, that's what it was.
You can still do that.
No, I can't.
Yeah, look, Mac Jones.
I hate you. Next topic. Hey, this could be a showdown. The Cleveland Browns, Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow. I mean, hopefully Deshaun Watson stops throwing the ball in the dirt 10 yards in front of his wide receivers. Watson was asked about the past week against Houston. Here's Deshaun.
Yeah, I think last week was a lot. You know, the anticipation to just be back on the field, the anticipation of going back to my former team, anticipation playing against former teammates, and being in front of a crowd that used to, you know, cheer for me at the time. So all that stuff was definitely, you know, it was a lot. You know, I'm human, so, you know, I definitely have things running through my mind and through my, you know, just soul in general. But, you know, I'm glad that's out the way. I'm glad we got the win. And, you know, I'm just trying to look forward to this week. It's going to be a hostile environment in Cincinnati. It's going to be a fun, and we just got to go out there and just make sure we execute the game plan.
I got a question. Like, how does he never, ever seem as if he's aware of what's taken place over the last year and a half? It's truly incredible, and it's 100% the mind of a sociopath that allows him to do that. I mean, you're talking about last week. And he's like, yeah, you know, you're playing your old team. Why are you playing your old team? Why?
It's hard to get traded, man.
It's truly incredible, Sean. It's remarkable. I wonder if there was anybody that actually thought to ask him a tough question in the Cincinnati media, and if Brown's Baghdad Bob stepped in the way so he couldn't ask that question. The person whose name, again, I can't find on the staff directory. I'm still pissed about that. That was BS. Anyway, we don't have time to dive into the rest of the games this weekend, but it is a great slate of games. Honestly, you should find your way if you want to watch a game in its entirety. You should find your way to some sort of sports establishment to watch all of them. You know, like Nick's Place or something like that. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Houston Cougars basketball is the hottest ticket in town. I hope you guys help me out telling me where I should go before the game begins, because I will be there tomorrow. Some other fun facts about the game. It's the Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
Your home for sports. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues. A text. We are 3 for 3 right now when it comes to opening up a segment with Paul's sexuality being questioned. The latest... This one's funny, because in the last segment, you heard Baker Mayfield say, ball is ball. Paul knows balls because Paul knows balls. Hey, could be my own, right? Keeping an eye on what's going on in the World Cup right now between Croatia, who was a part of the Axis powers, hashtag Nazis, in World War II, and Brazil, who, of course, harbored Nazis. You're in the 89th minute. The game's tied at nothing. So that's fun. Real classic soccer. Before the show began, Sean Mapes and I were in the prep room. And I swear on the bobblehead and holy sacred candle of Tom Brady that I have in my condo, I swear that I saw someone do the Nazi salute. I swear I saw it. Like, not just once, not just twice, like 3 times. And it's fun to watch the World Cup for the shots that they have of people in the crowd. Show a couple of people looking agitated, animated. they'll of course show like zoom ins of the coaches that are like speaking, but there's no way anyone on the field can hear them. Like, the coach is speaking during a soccer match. Does anyone actually pay attention to them if you're in the middle of a game? Because the field's so big, how would you be able to see the guy? How would you be able to hear the guy either when you got all those damn vuvuzelas or whatever the hell instrument of death that they are using in 2022? There is something that is being blared at these games, Sean. And I'm surprised that the Qatar secret police, who won't allow alcohol into the stadiums, haven't gone around and started rounding people up and arresting them, because that would be warranted to put those people in a holding cell.
Do you think you would get put in a holding cell in Qatar?
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, this guy knows ball, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they would probably look at me and say, wow, he's matching too much. His outfit, his fit, as the kids say, his fit, impeccable. Impeccable taste. The shoes match the shirt, which matches the pants, which matches the belt, which matches everything, which matches his damn watch.
And look at it. It's extra medium.
The shirt's a little too tight. Why can we see all of his figure?
Yeah, I think once you touch down the airport, you would get flagged. I said probably. Flagged, by the way, with an L.
Oh, my God.
Just in case.
There's a basketball game tomorrow. That'll be fun. Cougs, number one. Bama, number eight. And I guess if you don't have a ticket right now, it's going to be difficult for you to get into the game. I guess in the secondary market, some of these tickets are going for as high as $560. I think some, there's like $980 or so. It's the first ever top 10 showdown at Vegeta Center. It was sold out officially yesterday. So on the secondary market, $162. I got to say, not like I'm on Tillman Fertitta's payroll, but I would love to be. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. That arena is fantastic to watch a game in, and I actually think that this, because you're not going to see the Cougs play anyone, let's be honest, of consequence for the remainder of the regular season. The AAC is a basketball conference.
Are you saying they play in a bad conference?
It's not a bad conference. It's not a bad conference.
It's like playing the Bills and Jets.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's a bad conference, but it's a meh conference, you know? Like, you occasionally, like, Cincinnati's good, occasionally what, Memphis is good. Not dumping on it. I'm just saying, yeah. So it sucks for during the regular season with this team, because if they were, and maybe this happens when they're in the Big 12, you're going to have a lot more fun, I think, watching some of these games when it's a totally packed arena. The last time I went was when it was a Cincinnati game back in 2018. The Cougs won, and it was awesome. It was a great environment. It's going to be a fantastic environment, I think, for this one. So I'm looking forward to going to that game. Are there tailgating spots around the stadium? Unaware of those. As far as Alabama goes, is Nick Saban their coach? Sean smirked for a second. No, I'm serious. Like, it is so strange to me, on a serious note, that Alabama basketball is good. And I'm just like, oh, so is Nick Saban coaching this too? Is this what Trent Richardson does now? Is Trent Richardson like a power forward? Like an undersized power forward for the Crimson Tide? Like, what is going on? What is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Alabama is good at basketball, and I can't understand why. But they have been, like, for the last couple of seasons.
It's Coach Nate Oates.
Nate Oates, Nick Saban, same thing. Okay. So Nick Saban will be on the sideline for tomorrow's Alabama and UH Cougars game. I am excited for it. I really am. I am probably more excited for this game from a regular season perspective than I've been for any Houston-based regular season game in a really long time. And I was trying to think about it. Baseball, it's hard to get excited about one regular season game just because there's so many, you know? Like, you play the New York Yankees. The Yankees games are the ones that I get most excited for when they happen every single year here. But there's like seven of them over the course of the season. You're going to have three, four opportunities to go.
You literally wore a half Mariners, half Astros shirt like 6 months ago.
Right, to one Astros-Mariners game. How many Astros-Mariners games were there last year? 18.
Yeah, but you're excited for the first one. Go show off your shirt.
But I'm not excited on the level I'm excited for the game between the Cougs and the Crimson Tide tomorrow.
Are you? That's a question for you. Only you can answer that.
No, I knew going into that game that the game was probably going to be an Astros victory. But the bit, was what I was more excited about, of wearing the half shirt.
Okay, so it's the fashion part of it you were most excited for.
That's on brand for the Paul Gallant Show based off the text line. But, yeah, this – like the last time I was excited about a Texans regular season game, it has been a very long time. I would say probably dating back to 2018, and it was when they played the Cowboys last. That was the DeAndre Hopkins double spin game. Way back in 2018, like that game, I think I was like, oh, you know, they're all of a sudden starting to get a little frisky, you know, in the midst of that winning streak. I forget which game that was that they won. I think it was like game four, game five or something like that. But even that, you know, it's rare that you see a great regular season game that's in your backyard. And especially here with, you know, the way that the Rockets have been playing of late, and the same thing with the Texans. So this will be a good one. I think you should go. I think if you got the scratch, I think you should go. And I don't know if there's like a Coug sports bar that's in the immediate vicinity of the arena. Maybe I'll go walk around looking for it. Last time, though, that I went around a college arena looking for a place to, you know, have a drink or two was in Waco, Texas. And Baylor's campus, while pretty, does not offer much in terms of quenching thirst of the alcoholic variant. Big letdown.
Luckily, this game will not be played in Waco, Texas.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say that.
That's true. I don't have to drive all the way out there either. It's a long drive. It's a beautiful drive. If you're driving at sunset, but long drive. The Rockets, by the way, they snapped the Spurs' 11-game losing streak. So I'm glad that I went to see that game on Monday night where the Rockets played James Harden and the Sixers, and I'm glad I got to see a victory. But it's sort of a reminder of, yeah, that was just a one-time thing.
All these guys are 19 years old.
Yeah, they're all children. God, why is everything so damn far away? Why can't anything be right in front of us? Why? Just one thing. Why can't it be like right now, right here? It's kind of BS. Sean's laughing. It is, though. Come on.
I mean, it's just funny. You're like, why can't I just have immediate gratification all the time?
Seriously. It's 2022.
Let's be good.
Well, I can look at my phone. I can get it. I mean, why can I get it on my phone and I can't get it from sports here? Until the Astros come back in, what, like 111 days now?
But then you won't be excited for any of the games.
I will
October.
Be at first. I'm always excited for like the first 2 weeks of regular season baseball, and then I'm like, oh, okay, yep, let's get to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, they're 6-4, and this doesn't matter.
Yeah, 100%. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Are there any reasons to watch Texans-Cowboys? We'll talk about some of the better games that are coming out this weekend as well, because it is actually a great slate when it comes to playoff scenarios. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.